This is Flick on Flicks with Jacob Clark Blickenstaff. Brought to you by NSTA, the National Science Teaching Association. Today's episode, Space Science and Troop Zero.
Good afternoon, birdies. Who's excited for Jamboree?
There's something special this year, an opportunity to be a part of science. This is Dr. Prasad, all the way from NASA.
We are putting together a record of life to launch into space. We will be recording people at the Jamboree.
Raise your hands if you like to think about outer space.
I'm Christmas Flint, human female. I think you'd like me. I think you'd want to be my friend.
Dad, I think I could be part alien.
I sure as heck hope not.
I worry about you, Christmas.
I discovered this film almost by accident since it was not released in theaters, but is streaming on Amazon Prime Video. Troop Zero is based on a play written by Lucy Alibar, who also wrote the screenplay, and the movie is directed by an all-female team known as Bert and Birdie. McKenna Grace delivers an amazing performance as Christmas Flint, and there are some great connections to the history of space exploration in this movie. Christmas lives in rural Georgia in the 1970s with her widowed father Ramsey, played by Jim Gaffigan, in a trailer park with an array of colorful neighbors. Ramsey is an unsuccessful lawyer who has just one employee, Miss Raylene, played by Viola Davis. Christmas is fascinated by space and the idea of communicating with aliens. She usually ignores the local group of Birdie Scouts who bully her both in school and in the neighborhood. When Christmas learns that there will be a competition at the Birdie Scout Jamboree to get your voice recorded by NASA for the golden record that will go into space, she decides to create a new troop. Her group is unusual for including an African-American member. The other troops are not integrated. There's a girl with one eye and a boy. The local Birdie Scout leader, Miss Massey, played by Allison Janney, requires that every member of the new Troop Zero earn a badge before allowing them to attend the Jamboree. They also need an adult leader, and Christmas recruits Miss Raylene, who agrees in spite of some history with Miss Massey. Earning the badges is just the start for Troop Zero, as they also need a performance for the Jamboree. I won't reveal the outcome, but I will say that my children appreciated the fact that it did not follow the standard kid movie formulas. Christmas's interest in space focuses on three main topics: meteor showers, how her voice can travel out into space, and communication with aliens. All of these are worthy topics for a school science class, and the story is funny and touching enough to appeal to elementary and middle school students. Christmas anticipates a spectacular meteor shower throughout much of the film, and there is a payoff at the end. While meteors can happen at any time, they are most common at times when Earth passes through especially dusty patches of space. Usually those dusty areas are remnants of comet tails. Those active times are usually called meteor showers and are named for the constellation close to where the meteors are seen in the sky. The Perseid shower happens every August, so it is particularly popular to view in the United States since the weather is warm overnight. The Perseids in 1977 were very active, with a peak rate of 150 per hour. For more information about meteors and how to observe them, check out the American Meteor Society website and the link available in the online version of this podcast. Setting Troop Zero in 1977 also links the film to NASA's Voyager program, which has been an amazingly successful project to investigate the four gas giant planets of our solar system. Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune were in an arrangement in 1977 such that the gravitational pull of each planet would send a spacecraft on to the next with very little extra fuel. Even today, no other probes have visited Uranus and Neptune, and both Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 have continued to send data back to Earth. They are now the human-made objects that have traveled the greatest distance from the Earth. NASA scientists and engineers knew that these probes would eventually leave our solar system and imagined that one day intelligent beings might find one of them. To tell these aliens about the people who built Voyager, two golden records were made, which contain photographs, examples of music, human speech, and the sounds of nature on Earth. Christmas hopes that by winning the Birdie Scout Jamboree, her voice will be included on the record and travel out into space, perhaps to be heard by aliens. You should check out the Voyager page, available in another link on the website, to learn more about how the record was made and the contents. I find the idea of the Golden Record to be one of the most hopeful projects NASA has undertaken, and I appreciate again Carl Sagan's contributions to making science accessible to the general public. Though the Voyager probes are rapidly moving into interstellar space at roughly 20 kilometers per second, the radio waves humans have produced in large quantities since the early 20th century far outpace them. A kind of electromagnetic radiation, radio and television signals travel at the speed of light, that's about 300,000 kilometers per second, and thus have made it many tens of light years away from Earth since they were first produced. This is another way that intelligent life on another planet could learn of the existence of human beings. Christmas remembers her mother telling her that her voice travels out into space forever, and if her voice gets onto the Golden Record, or is broadcast by radio or TV, that is true. The sound waves of speech cannot get to space, though, since sound requires a medium to carry it. On Earth, the atmosphere generally carries voices from person to person, but liquids and solids can also conduct sound waves. Since both sound and light can be described as waves, it's easy to confuse some of the important differences, and Christmas's ideas could help teachers sort things out for students. Christmas may have an idea that sound isn't the best way to reach aliens, because she also builds an array of lights that she flashes on and off in patterns that she hopes aliens will see. Troop Zero is a great way to introduce upper elementary and middle school students to space science. For those who want to link this film to more recent history on the International Space Station, you might also check out Chris Hadfield's performance of Space Oddity, available in a final link in the website, or as one of my Blix picks later on this month.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website, www.nsta.org, and search for Blick on Flicks.